Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today as we begin a brand new series of studies on stewardship, intensely practical to help you to live for Jesus in these last days of Earth's history. Our topic today, the influence of materialism. You may be surprised to discover it's impacting all of us. So I'm glad you're here for Hope Sabbath School today. And welcome to the team. Good to be together. Yes. And you know, as I prepared for this series, I was excited. I thought this is present truth for us, and it's going to be a great blessing. We're glad that you're with us today. In fact, more than a million Hope Sabbath School members around the world, 150 countries. We always are so happy to hear from you when you write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. And if you don't have a computer, go to your friend who has one. Sometimes we'll get an email, "I'm writing on behalf of Susan, who doesn't have a computer." But get a message to us to let us know how God is blessing your life. Here's a note from Kingsley in Zambia. And we have a lot of Hope Sabbath School members in Zambia. God is blessing there in an amazing way. He's from Ndola City. He says, "I wish to inform you that I find real blessing in Hope Sabbath School."
Amen.
He says, "I watch you and your team every lunch hour at work on my smartphone." So I just want to tell folks watching, if you don't have our app, Hope Sabbath School, both for Android phones and for Apple phones, you can download it free from the app website, Hope Sabbath School. And that's apparently what Kingsley's doing. He watches during his lunch break. It's awesome. What a wonderful God we serve. Please carry on with such a great work for Jesus. And may the unfailing Jesus bless us all. Amen?
Amen.
You can tell that Kingsley knows Jesus. We're glad you wrote to us, Kingsley, from Zambia. Eric writes, he's a Kenyan living in Germany. So we're international. Thanks for writing to us, Eric. He says, "Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus."
Greetings.
"My name's Eric. I'm a Kenyan in Germany. I'm writing on behalf of our 5-year-old son, Amariah." You say, "Why? What does Amariah have to tell us?" Well, his dad, Eric, writes, "He enjoys Hope Sabbath School a lot and cannot go to sleep on Friday evening without watching and listening to the Word of God."
Amen.
I love that. Hope Sabbath School is one of the preparations for Sabbath for our little boy. Amen. He has got used to it for the past 2 years. It helps him to locate Sabbath as the day of the week. Before he knew the days of the week. He wants you to know that he loves watching the program, hearing the emails. Well, this one's from you, Amariah, so you're getting an email that you recognize, and the testimonies from different parts of the world. His daddy, Eric, continues, "My wife discovered Hope Sabbath School a year ago when we moved to Germany. It's been a great blessing to us. In the times when we could not participate in Sabbath School discussions due to the language barrier, Hope Sabbath School was our discussion group, and we would discuss your comments and then discuss further with my wife after watching the program." Isn't that awesome?
Oh,
that's impacting people all around the world. Most importantly, Hope Sabbath School discussions, testimonies, and members have touched and contributed a great deal to our spiritual lives.
Amen.
God bless you all, guide you in the work you're doing, Eric. Well, Eric, thanks for writing on behalf of your 5-year-old boy, Amariah. And I can tell God's blessing your family. Great to hear from you. On the other side of the world, in Australia, let's see who's writing to us. Shitra is writing from Australia and says, "My husband and I have been watching your program for more than a year. We don't belong to the Adventist Church, but we love the Bible teaching."
Amen.
You know, Hope Sabbath School is for everyone, isn't it?
Amen.
Maybe Christian, non-Christian, saying, "What does the Bible say about life? Is there hope for the future?" It's clear and very helpful. We also follow the study guide. Well, I just want to affirm you, you can download the same study guide that we use. I have mine right here, ready to teach. You can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. That's right. It'll be on the screen for you. But you can download that, and you can use it in your own Bible study or follow along during the class. So that's what you're doing there. That's beautiful. Today's program really blessed us to think about sharing our faith. And the change of heart is by God and God alone.
Yes.
Amen.
That's so true. God bless you all. You're a blessing to many. Well, you're a blessing to us, Shitra. Thanks for writing to us from Australia. Here's one from a Filipino in Thailand. I told you we're international, right? His name's Alf, working in Thailand for 7 years. I felt like heaven when watching Hope Sabbath School discussions. I can see you like heavenly messengers talking about the Word of God. That's a miracle, isn't it? We just have to say what?
Praise God.
Your program is a big help to me every time my pastor assigns me to lead out in Sabbath School at our church in Thailand. Please pray for our ministry. We are sharing the light with some difficulties, like the language and culture barrier. He's becoming a missionary, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's not just there for a job.
Right.
He's sharing the truth of God. He said, if we don't get a chance to see each other on earth, we'll see you when Jesus comes.
Amen.
All right, one last note. This is from a donor. I don't know your name. I just want to say thank you from Pennsylvania in the United States. Sends a donation every month to help this global ministry, Hope Sabbath School. Thank you once again for the wonderful programs on DirecTV Channel 368. If you have DirecTV, by the way, or you know your friends or family, tell them Channel 368. That's where they can watch Hope Sabbath School. I've learned so much in the years I've been watching. I was not brought up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, so it's a big eye-opener for me. Keep spreading God's wonderful news around the world. May the good Lord bless all who make Hope Channel so enlightening. Amen?
Amen.
Well, those are just a few emails. I'm just so excited. I know some people say, forget the emails, let's get into the study. But, you know, sometimes a story can help you to see that it could change your life today as we study the Word of God. So we just want to thank God that His Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. In fact, more than that, we want to praise Him, which is what our theme song is for this series of studies from Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. You can download it from the website, the MP3 file, the sheet music. We're going to sing it right now.
My whole heart, I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High.
Song. We can sing that when we're working during the day, maybe not too loud if we work with colleagues, but on our hearts, we can praise Him with our whole hearts, right? And I want to praise Him today as we pray that His Holy Spirit would touch lives, not only in our group, but around the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And this topic of stewardship, being faithful Christian stewards, is so important as we talk about the influence of materialism today, as we study together from your word. Guide us by your Holy Spirit. May the truth of Jesus and his plan for our lives be clearly seen, and may lives be blessed around the world, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, as we start this series on stewardship, someone might say, how do you define stewardship? And that's a good question. Steward's kind of an old word. There used to be a steward in the household. Jason, how would you define stewardship in a Christian context?
You made reference to the person who would take care of the household. So I think of stewardship in the Christian context, taking care of those things which God has given you, be they material possessions, be they your time, being a good watchman or woman of whatever God has given you the opportunity for.
That's a great definition. I wrote one down here, a daily visible expression of what it means to live for Jesus.
Amen.
That's stewardship. And that will involve, like you said, Jason, both tangible things and intangible. So let's talk about that. What are some tangible things to me so that we have, that we need to use wisely?
Financial resources.
Okay, our financial resources. Homes, yeah.
Cars,
right? If I can either use my car to drag race or race someone else or to help bring someone to church, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I can use my home to try to impress people or to have Bible studies, right? Mm-hmm. So I have tangible assets. What else?
Even our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Our body, okay, that's very tangible. So I can, by the way, I care for my body or use it in service. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can be a good steward.
Clothes?
Yeah, our clothes. Mm-hmm. Because didn't John the Baptist say if you see someone who has two coats, no coat, and you have two, you can maybe share a coat with her, right?
Yeah.
What about our food?
Oh, yeah.
You know, some people throw away more food than other people have to eat. Yeah. So there's tangibles. What are some intangible resources that we have? Think about that.
Time.
Time? That's right.
Influence.
Our influence, that's an important one.
Character.
Yeah, our character.
Our talents.
Our talents, that's right. So what we're saying here is that to be a Christian steward is a kind of a visible expression of living for Jesus with everything we have, right?
Yes.
Tangible and intangible. Everything. You say, well, Jesus has my heart, but he doesn't have my car. He has my heart, but he doesn't have my house, my boat, or my influence. No, that's for me. And the answer is?
No, he has everything.
Not if you're a faithful Christian steward. So let's go to the Apostle John, first text, 1 John chapter 2, gives us some inspired counsel about the influence of materialism. And Harold, I'm going to ask you if you'd start our study today. And, you know, I love the Word of God, and sometimes we need to just remember that this may be the first time someone's ever heard this, but the Bible clearly claims its inspiration, and we see that validated in many ways. So the Holy Spirit said to the Apostle John, write this down for the church as counsel for them. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17.
All right. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And I read, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
And verse 17. Oh.
And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever.
Is that good news?
Yes.
Now, if it's important that we who do the will of God abide forever, we ought to know what that is. But we're going to talk about some of the distractions first. But let me just remind you, what is the ultimate will of God for us?
Salvation.
That's right. It's to accept that his unfailing love revealed through Jesus. Now, are we going to care for our bodies?
Yes.
Sure. Are we going to share our resources?
Yes. Yes.
But that's not the way we live forever, is it? No. That's a visible expression of
abiding
in Jesus. That's right. But let's go back to the beginning that Harold read, where it says, do not love the world. What is, Nicole, what does that mean, do not love the world? I mean, it's beautiful out there. I saw a beautiful sunrise and beautiful green fields. That's not what it's talking about, right?
No, I think that it's talking about the culture of the world and what it is that the world represents at this time and stage with sin being prevalent. Okay. And so my thoughts are that the world is temporary. Mm-hmm. And so if we find ourselves in love with or doing what the world wants us to do, then we find ourselves being temporary also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow, profound. Harold.
Yes, because actually in verse 15 it says, you know, there's the love of the world. But if you have the love of the world in your heart, the love of the Father is kicked out.
Sure. So but I think it's important to realize it's not just saying, well, I love nature and I love swimming. It's talking about the culture of the world, isn't it? And the culture is a culture that is opposed to God. Mm-hmm. It's instead of being God-serving, it's
self-serving,
right? And then he gets specific. Mm-hmm. So what did you notice there? What were the three things? Jason, did you see that?
Yeah, as far as the world.
Yeah, what were the three things?
Oh, lust of the flesh.
Lust of the flesh.
Lust of the eyes.
Lust of the eyes.
And the pride of life.
Pride of life. What would the lust of the flesh be?
Your own sinful desires.
Our sinful desires, all right. Well, they're all kind of sinful desires, but could be...
Gluttony.
Gluttony or overeating, and
Fornication.
That could be too, though. It's going to come into the second one, which is lust of the eyes, right? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus says when you look lustfully on a person, that's like breaking the commandment, don't commit adultery, right? So that's the immorality issue. Pride of life?
Possessions.
Possessions?
Power.
Power.
Position.
Authority, yeah.
Huh?
Position.
Greediness.
Greediness, yeah.
Popularity.
So which of those do you think, Brittany, is most prevalent in the culture in which you live? Now, we represent different countries, and of course, watching here on Hope Sabbath School, you're all over the world, so maybe you can answer that. Which one of those is most prevalent where you live? And we'll hear from Brittany. Mm-hmm. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. I know no one will say, well, none of those are a problem here. That's a huge problem. What do you think is most prevalent here?
I would say the lust of the eye, the lust of the eyes, because we see so much with media and technology in the United States, especially pornography, just all these things that are vying for our attention through visual means.
Yep. Yeah, and certainly that's true. We are bombarded in all parts of the world. You know, I go to remote areas and they're holding a smartphone. Mm-hmm. So that means all of the evil can get there, mm-hmm. right? The lust of the eyes. Anybody want to agree or disagree? I saw a hand raised over here. Travis?
I would agree. It's either that or the pride of life, you know, boasting and trying to have power and accumulate things and to have more than he does or she does.
Someone else. What do you think, Jenna?
Yes, I think the pride of life for sure. I once heard a quote that said along the lines, we should not use people and love things, but love people and use things.
So
there's that perfect balance that we need.
Now, someone, Stephanie, is going to say, I think it's all three. But
that's what
do you think?
I think it's all three. I really do, because we're bombarded by this on billboards, all of them. It's reaching our senses, and so you really have to keep your eyes on Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I saw an ad. I won't tell you which country, because I don't want to be critical of any country. Could be here. Could be, you know, on any of the continents. But it said, someone asked me, how are you doing? And I showed them my car.
Wow. Oh, no.
That was on a billboard. How are you doing? Wow. I showed them my car.
Wow.
So what's that?
Pride of life.
Pride of life? Lust of the eyes?
Yeah.
Ooh, look. It's all of them, isn't it? I think that word bombarded. Nicole?
I was going to say that these same temptations have been going on for a number of years, mm-hmm. thousands of years. And so I think it's not necessarily which one is more than the other. I think it's the devil uses them when he can to take us and distract us from what we should be looking for, which is
sure.
Jesus.
In fact, your point is well taken. If we went back even to the very beginning, Genesis 3, temptation, when there's this forbidden fruit, what is the enemy? His name is Satan. Fallen angel, once called Lucifer. That's a whole nother study, isn't it? Great battle between good and evil. What is he appealing to when he shows her that fruit?
The lust of the eyes.
Or appetite.
All of them.
Yeah. It's the lust of the flesh, because it tastes good. Lust of the eyes, it looks good. Mm-hmm. And you can be
like God.
Be like God.
Right.
So probably the danger is that they're all kind of stirred up together.
Yes.
But you might say, but Satan knows where I'm weak, and I really fall for the pride of life, or I really fall for the lust of the eyes, or, you know, whatever. So we're going to go on, but would you agree this is practical study?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Practical study. Amen. Now, some people say the real problem, Stephanie, is money. But the Bible will correct that. Right?
Exactly.
So take a look, if you would, in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. Now you're a CPA, so you deal with a lot of numbers, right? But the problem is not money, is it?
No.
What does it say in your Bible?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows.
So?
The love of money.
So you could just have a little money and just love it. Or have a lot of money and love God and not love the money, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So what does it mean it's the root of all evil? I mean, that sounds very startling, doesn't it? How can the love of money be the root of all evil? Gary?
Well, you're replacing God with money.
Yeah.
Right? So now you're
It's your idol, mm-hmm. right? And whatever it can provide you is what you're going to cherish. Mm-hmm. So instead of looking to God as your provider, you're looking to this money now as your provider for popularity, status. It fills a void that God is only supposed to fill.
We're going to look at some stories a little later that illustrate that, but I like what you're saying, because once you put anything in the place of God, all kinds of other evil will come, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Let's look at one other text in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. We're still on this idea of the temptation to love the things of the world. Brittany, would you read Galatians 5, 16? It tells us what not to do and what to do.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
It's actually not just what not to do and what to do, but a promise, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So don't
walk
in the flesh. That would include the
lust
of the flesh,
lust
of the eyes. Don't walk in that, and you will what?
Fulfill.
What did it say?
Not fulfill.
Not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
So walk in the Spirit.
Walk in the Spirit. You're going to walk in the Spirit. Okay. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Anybody? Jenna, what do you think?
I think it's to constantly think about Christ.
So if I'm constantly thinking about Him, then He has all of my resources, both
tangible
and
intangible.
He's got them all. Yes. Okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do here? Yeah. You know, I struggle with that sometimes when I come to a traffic light and there's someone holding a sign, you know, and I don't know whether they just want it for their next dose of drugs or whether they really need help. But Jenna's saying, keep your eyes on Jesus, and He'll let you know what to do with your resources. Eric?
In the same way that, you know, obsessiveness with money can take your eyes off of God, if we put our eyes onto God, then the other things such as the money and, you know, our resources, we no longer worry about that.
Yeah, and there's a great illustration of that that we're going to come to in our study. It was a little fellow, kind of like me, right? And his name was?
Zacchaeus.
And when he gave his heart to God, everything else, he said, God, you have all my resources, both the tangible ones and the
intangible.
Yeah, you've got it all, God.
Yeah.
So that's a great insight. Well, let's talk a little about the materialism trap, some who got caught in that, and then how we make it past that. Ecclesiastes is a little book. It's right after Psalms and Proverbs. Let me know if you found it. Jason, you have it there? Chapter 5 and verse 10, this is the wise man Solomon. And by the way, he did better when he kept his eyes fully on God. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a trap for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. Rich or poor.
Right.
What does he tell us in Ecclesiastes 5:10?
All right, so I'll be reading from the King James Version, Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter and 10th verse. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance will increase. This is also vanity.
Someone told me one time that if you live for money, can you finish the sentence? If you live for money, you'll never have enough.
Yeah.
He said, if you live for silver, you're not satisfied with silver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
If you live for your car and someone drives by who's faster,
you're
going to want that car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or if someone walks by whose spouse is more handsome or beautiful. If you live for things,
it's never enough.
Mm-hmm. It's never enough, is it,
right.
Samisa? Would you look at the words of Jesus for us, Samisa, in Matthew 6:24? It introduces a word, depending on what translation you have, that I think we need to understand. Some people use it and they have no idea what it is. Mm-hmm. But it talks about this word mammon. We're in Matthew 6:24. In the great sermon of Jesus from the mountain, what did he say about wealth?
Matthew 6:24, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Does anyone have a more modern translation that translates, Nicole, the last word, how does it translate mammon?
Money.
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 Okay, anyone else? It may be a little broader than money. It's an Aramaic word that means wealth. That's right, Milena.
Riches.
And wealth could include more than money, couldn't it?
Yes.
It could include all of your other tangible and maybe even intangible resources, mm-hmm. right? And he says you can't live for both, which is back to what Eric said earlier. If God has first place, I'm not going to live for these things.
Yeah.
They just become resources mm-hmm. to be a yes. good steward. Jenna?
I think we go back to priorities. I think within the same chapter in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and sure. all things shall be added to you. So we need to have God first and then possessions, and we'll be able to use them right. Mm-hmm.
So let's remember that we can't have two things in first place.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
right. It will get displaced. Mm-hmm. What God wants, of course, is that, as Jesus said, love God first and love each other. That displaces everything else. Mm-hmm. Now, this idea of materialism, you say, oh, it's a real today. It was real in the time of Jesus. It's not a new problem, is mm-hmm. it? Like you were saying, goes all the way back. Can someone find Deuteronomy chapter 8? And let's look at verses 10 through 14. Deuteronomy 8, Brittany. Verses 10 through 14. This is Moses giving counsel. Now, he's talking to people who've been slaves. How much material possession did they have as slaves?
Not many. Not much.
Just enough to stay alive, right?
Right?
And he's saying, now, just be aware when you come into this land of plenty mm-hmm. that there's a potential trap here. Mm-hmm. How does Moses counsel?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 10 through 14. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, what I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
Could it happen today?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you've built your beautiful houses.
Mm-hmm. Pride of life.
Pride of life. Lust of the flesh, lust of the... It's all of them, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yes.
You could so easily forget when they're standing at the Red Sea and the army's behind them and they're like, God, our eyes are on you. Mm-hmm. When they're in the wilderness starving or no water first, right? God, our eyes are on you. God provides. We don't have anything to eat. Our eyes are on you. Manna comes.
Yes.
Now they come to the land of plenty. And it's like, don't forget. Hmm. Wow, is that a lesson for us today?
Yes.
Amen.
Don't forget the one who's given you all these things. So why is an addiction to acquiring material wealth such a dangerous trap? What do you think? Yeah, Jason.
Yeah, when you acquire, you may tend to forget God, as it talked about in Deuteronomy, you know. And if I may read in Proverbs, it gives something to that effect as well.
Okay, give us a minute to find. Where are you reading from?
Yes, yeah, Proverbs, the 30th chapter.
Okay.
And 7 through 9 verse.
Okay, give us a moment. Proverbs chapter 7.
30. Chapter 30.
Oh, chapter 30 verses.
7 and through 9 verse.
7 through 9. Okay, moment to find that. How did he know to find that extra verse? Have you been reading your Bible?
No way.
All right, good. Praise Proverbs God. 30, 7 through 9 in the King James?
King James Version, yes. And the Word of God says, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? For lest I be poor and still, and take the name of my God in vain.
Mm. And that's a wise man named Agur. Most people don't know that Agur wrote part of the Bible, but there were several people at the end of the Proverbs that they added in addition to Solomon's wise sayings. Mm. And Agur says, you know, I don't want to forget God because of wealth. I'd rather be
poor.
But the key thing you told us earlier is you don't have to be poor. God may bless you with great wealth to be a blessing to others. Harold?
And I don't just wanted to add to what Jason just said, because Jesus in the Mount of Olives, he gave the Beatitudes, and he mentioned...
Actually, it was the Sermon on the Mount, which is up in Galilee, but that's okay.
Sorry about that.
Different mount.
But in the Beatitudes, he mentioned, blessed are those who thirst and hunger for righteousness, because they will be filled. Mm. And it goes very well with the verse that he just read in chapter 30, because we get satisfied in Jesus. He's the one who fills us up.
So hunger and thirst for those things and not just for stuff.
Exactly.
It didn't say quite like that in the Bible, but that's true, right? Yeah. Eric?
One thing about materialism as a, you know, world philosophy, if we look at it, when the way people determine what's good and what's bad or what's right and what's wrong is what makes them feel pleasure or what's pleasurable to them, what they enjoy. So they might go off and do something that may not be what God would want us to do.
Sure. Absolutely. Something that would appeal to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or
pride of life.
So it's leading away from God. The other reason is it doesn't work. Because if you live for stuff, you never have enough. It doesn't ultimately satisfy you. Well, let's talk about some stories in the Bible. I put a few down in the outline here. You could share some others if you would like to. But some stories in the Bible of individuals who got caught in the materialism trap. Jason, you want to start one for us? Is there one that comes to your mind?
Well, the most obvious that comes to mind is definitely the story of the rich young ruler.
Okay. Let's take a look at that in Luke 18.
Yes, Luke
18. I think
18.
It's in several of the synoptics, but we'll look in Luke's account. Luke 18, verses 18 to 23. And read that for us and then share what insight comes to you about this young ruler.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 23. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich.
There's one commandment he'd conveniently ignored. Well, there's actually two, maybe more. The first and the last, the first says,
You shall have
any other gods before me. Don't let anything else be first.
Right.
And the last one says, do not covet. In other words, don't live for stuff. And you say, well, I'm just living for my stuff. You don't. You live for their stuff because you'd like it. Mm-hmm. Because it looks nicer than your stuff. Yeah. Right?
Right?
If you're living for things. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the way that Jesus related to this rich young ruler?
So the neat thing was Jesus at first, he didn't call him immediately out on what his struggle was. He let him sort of build to it by first answering his question by listing various commandments. And Jesus is hinting at it by leaving these things out, but he's also giving the rich young ruler, the young man, a chance to think for himself. You know, Jesus doesn't want to just, you know, point it straight out to you. He wants you to sort of, through your relationship, understand what you may lack from him that you may still need.
You know, I'm trying to remember in one of these versions, I was looking at Matthew, it's not there, but you may remember it says Jesus looked at him and loved him.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So what does that tell me, Nicole?
Yes.
Jesus loves us in our current state and is trying to give us the direction that we need to get to a closer relationship with him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now, we'll just take a moment. We won't tell the whole stories of others, but there were other people who could have got caught in the materialism trap and love money, right? You use people, love money rather than love people and use money. He didn't ask them to give it all away. He asked this one to give it all away. Who were some wealthy people during his ministry? He didn't ask them to give all their money away.
David.
Nicodemus
and?
Well, I thought of David with his materialism, but
back
in the Old Testament.
Old Testament. Okay, I'm thinking just in the time of Jesus. Okay.
Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus, he didn't ask him to give it away. He gave away half of what he owned to the poor. Mm-hmm. And if I've wronged anyone, I'll give them fourfold, which was an admission that he'd been a robber.
Mm-hmm. Matthew.
What about Joseph of Arimathea? Matthew? Mm-hmm. He didn't ask them to give it away. Why?
because it wasn't a problem for them.
That's yeah, because mm-hmm. God's first, mm-hmm. Stephanie.
Jesus was the center of their life. Mm-hmm. And so what he had their heart, and when Jesus has your heart, he has your money, he has everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's probably a good indicator, isn't it?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Someone said one time, show me your giving habits and I'll tell you your heart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. True.
Now, there's one of the disciples, I'd like someone to read from John, who he also got caught in the materialism trap, and many people may not know this. Gary, could you read to us from John 12, verses 1 through 4? He was actually the treasurer of the group.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Controller.
Right,
But let's see what it says in John 12.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 12, 1 through 6. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it.
Now, is there a note right after that, Stephanie, looking in your Bible, Travis? Do you see something? What does it say after that?
He wanted it for himself because he was a thief.
Ah. So he's like, piety, you know, this money should be given into my purse so we can help the poor. No. Now, it's interesting, we don't have time to unpack that story, but that spikenard, that was like anointing for burial.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit had impressed her in advance. Jesus was going to lay down his life for us as our Savior. Yeah. Wow. And the Spirit impresses her. But this one disciple, he's not living, God's not first. Mm-hmm. And so this offends him, doesn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, this waste, he calls it.
Yeah.
Wow. Gary?
Oh, I was just going to ask. I mean, and Jesus knew this about him.
Sure.
You know, and it shows that Jesus was using it in a way to help him recognize a lack that he had, an issue that he had.
But you know, it comes to something, Nicole, that you said earlier, that he doesn't like just expose him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He loves him too.
He does.
Yes. Right.
He loves us all. And he doesn't hate us if we get caught in a materialism trap. He just wants us to be free from it. Samiso?
The key element to stewardship is also recognizing that everything comes from above.
Amen.
And we're just custodians, so to speak, of what God has entrusted upon us. And so recognizing that it comes from God and he's the center, everything that has been shared from the Bible, it's about not love in the world, not love in money, as it's the root of it. But he also gives us a solution, like, love God.
Yeah.
And if you acknowledge that it's God who gives everything, then you're in line with what he wants.
Sure. So he doesn't just tell us, don't do that. He's saying, put God first and everything else flows. Eric?
Before we move on, one more Bible character I wanted to highlight was Solomon. He was given wisdom by God and all these riches started coming to him. He started marrying multiple women and these women started distracting him away from God. He started worshiping foreign idols, foreign gods. So he kind of fell into the trap of the lust of the eyes.
Yeah. And the lust of the
flesh.
And the like all these, you know, 300 wives and 700 girlfriends, you know, concubines, you know. When you live for those things, you
never have
enough.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, how many do you need? There's only 365 days in a year.
Right.
It's absurd.
Right.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The truth.
Travis.
I just wanted to share a verse that, to go along with what Samisa was talking about, was in 1 Timothy. If I could,
give us the full reference and we'll look it up.
1 Timothy 6, verse 20.
Okay, give us a moment to find it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 20. All right? Right at the end of Paul's letter, first letter, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. And you're reading from?
The New King James Version I'll be reading from.
Okay.
It says, O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust. Avoid the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. So, along with what Samisa was saying, God has entrusted us with our possessions, whether tangible or intangible. And man or the knowledge of the world will try to draw us into this into this way of either spending or using these inappropriately.
Well, it just hit me that one of our intangible resources is our ability to speak. Because out of the mouth can come blessings or
curses.
So good. So it affects everything, doesn't it? Amazing. Well, let's continue our study. Philippians 2:3 may help us to know as followers of Jesus how we can avoid this trap. By the way, is this trap just for the young, old,
everyone,
rich, poor?
Everyone.
Everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So Philippians 2 and verse 3, we'd like to read that for us. Harold, thank you.
Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself.
So if I'm not just thinking about me, but about others, and the only way to do that is
having Jesus.
To be focused on God first.
Right.
Then I'm going to think about other people. Aaron?
I mean, that's why Jesus, when he was asked, to summarize the laws, he said, love God above all things, but love your neighbor as yourself. Because now your attention is not focused on you, but now on the other. And when you have Jesus, your desire will be to give. Because so much that God gave his son, so much we will give also ourselves for God so that they can be saved too. Because the focus is them to be saved so that we can all be part of the family of God.
Amen. So as faithful Christian stewards, how can we appreciate, enjoy the privilege of owning possessions without being owned by them or controlled by them? The answer, very simply, Nicole?
Well, for me, I have to believe that everything's temporary.
Okay.
If I don't believe that, then I will be using them to make me who I am. So I believe that my house could burn, my family could be gone, but those are all temporary things, and I have to have a relationship with Jesus because that's the only permanency that I'm going to find in my life.
Amen. Boy, that could change a lot of things,
a
lot of choices. We need to move on, give you some time at the end. Not only do we try to find security in money, but we try to find it in having enough stuff. And there's a story in Luke 12, verses 15 through 21. Jenna, would you read that for us? In Luke 12, 15 to 21, we could take a long time with it, but I just want to look at the story and tell me what the foolishness is of trusting in having enough stuff to care for myself.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
I want to ask an important question. Does God love this rich fool?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Of course he does. Mm-hmm. Is his life taken from him because he's building a bigger barn?
No.
It's just like, you're going to die tonight. And you're trusting in your stuff? Matthew 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, someone find it, verses 19 through 21. Why is it so foolish to think that material stuff can give us security? Milena, would you read that for us in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21?
I will be reading out of the New King James Version, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be.
Isn't that amazing? Amen. I mean, in the light of what we've been studying. Yeah. But starting at the beginning of these words of Jesus, why is it foolish to trust in our resources to give us security?
Temporary.
Yeah, they can rust, be eaten by moss, or stolen, right? Mm-hmm. Back to what you were saying earlier, Nicole. I mean, there's nothing consistent, eternal about those things. So don't trust in them. Well, remember we talked at the beginning about power or pride of life being something. There's a text in Daniel about someone who really trusted in his position, in his power, in the book of Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. Stephanie, if you have that, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30. He's well known in the book of Daniel, and his name is?
Nebuchadnezzar,
king of Babylon. And he has a problem with the pride of life. And what does he say at the end of chapter 4?
And the New King James Version puts it this way. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?"
Did you hear "my" quite a few times in there?
Yeah, quite a time.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. This great Babylon that I have built. Now, back to the story of the guy with the barn, when he said, "My barn is full. What should I do?" A faithful steward would say,
"Let me God will share.
I can share, right? I can give some away. I've got plenty for myself. Mm-hmm. I want to care for my family, but I don't need to build a bigger barn. I can give it away." Right. But here's the pride of life. Now, that's still a problem today. Romans 12 and verse 3. Eric, if you could find that for us. Romans 12, verse 3. Paul gives counsel to Christians in Rome about not trusting in their position or their power. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. It sounds like it's ongoing truth for all of us, right?
All right, so I'll be reading from the New International Version, Romans 12, verse 3. "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you."
Mm-hmm. Don't think of yourself
more highly
than you should. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've accomplished some great things, what could you say?
Praise God.
Praise God. And God, what do you want me to
do with
this influence or this money or this power, right?
Yeah.
But don't think too highly of yourself. Yeah. Why?
Because it's a gift.
Is he just trying to set a bunch of rules for us, Stephanie?
No, it's a gift. It's something that was given to us, so it's not something we've generated.
And what happens if we start thinking too highly of ourselves?
We're going to fall.
Pride.
We're deceiving ourselves.
Who are we looking at?
Ourselves.
We know what happens then, right? When we take our eyes off of Jesus, we start being critical of other people, competitive, selfish, self-serving. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to end on the negative. I want to talk about finding security in Jesus alone. Mm-hmm. And I want us to go to one text in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Many people, and I'd like you to read it, Nicole, many people may not know that Saul of Tarsus was probably from a wealthy family because he had an Ivy League education. Now, for those of you joining us from around the world, Ivy League would mean the very best education. He studied with the Rabbi Gamaliel. Mm-hmm. That's like in England going to Oxford or Cambridge, or in America going to Yale or to Harvard. And so he probably came from a place of wealth. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. He made tents. Well, every Jewish father was expected to teach his son a trade. So that doesn't mean that they didn't have wealth in their family. But look at his attitude, Nicole. We're talking about not getting caught in the materialism of our culture. But finding our security in Jesus alone. What is now called Paul, the apostle, what does he say in Philippians 3, verses 7 to 9?
The New International Version says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith.
Isn't that amazing? Amen. I consider it all
lost.
Garbage. Your Bible said garbage. The word garbage. Actually refuse, dung, rubbish. Nothing, worthless.
Something repulsive.
Compared to Christ. Mm-hmm. How did that change happen?
Through his relationship with Christ.
Through his relationship with Jesus. Had to be that everything falls into a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Yes, Harold.
I just want to add, like when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, he said, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward.
He's the reward.
God is the reward. Amen. So basically we need to count God in our riches, in our heart, so that we can be fully blessed.
Mm. Can you think of some other examples, Samisa, come to your point. Can you think of some other examples of people who were willing to abandon position, wealth, popularity, because Jesus had number one place in their lives? Think about that after Samisa's comment.
Well, just to respond to what you said first, is Jesus himself as the perfect example.
Oh, my.
He left the splendor of heaven and he came down here to sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for us.
You know, I love an interactive Bible study because I was thinking of other people. But he is the ultimate, isn't he?
Yes.
Son of God leaves the right hand of the Father and comes into human flesh as Jesus of Nazareth. What an incredible example of abandoning all things that some people think they would live for in order to serve and keep God first in his mission. Anybody else come to your mind
Moses.
Who was willing to do that?
Moses.
Moses. Yeah. Took a while, but finally he's like, you know what? I'm living very comfortably here in the palace, you know, probably heir to the Pharaoh's throne, and all of my family are being abused and oppressed. But finally he said, you know, I'll leave all of that to follow God. This is before the Messiah's come, so he's looking for the Messiah who'll come, right? Mm-hmm. All right, somebody else willing to abandon everything.
We don't name them, per se, but the new converted Christians in Antioch in the book of Acts, when they sold their possessions to share them with...
Great example in the book of Acts, Jason, why did that change happen? Because Jesus was first.
Yeah.
And so that reminds me of, what was his name? I'll remember him, Paul's mentor.
Oh, Gamaliel.
No, not Gamaliel, mentor who sold land and gave it. Why am I forgetting his name?
Barnabas.
I'll remember it later.
Barnabas?
Barnabas, thank you. Barney. I forgot his name. Yeah, Barnabas. He sold a piece of land. He could have said, I'll save that for my retirement. Mm. Yeah. But Jesus had his heart. Anybody else? We mentioned earlier, who was that tax collector? Two of them in the Bible, right?
Zacchaeus
and
Nicodemus.
And Matthew Levi. They abandoned everything, Jason?
So I think of all the disciples, particularly one such as Peter, who left his fishing nets and gave up his livelihood for Jesus.
He didn't just leave his nets, did he? He left
all
his fishing business.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, he was a businessman. Mm-hmm. You know, Travis, I know you've got a story because what's kind of coming to you here? You've been through this journey of living for possessions and now you made a decision to just put Jesus first. Share a bit of your story.
Well, I suppose over the last maybe 6 or 8 years, I became very successful in business. We had, and the bigger the company grew, the more we added on. We added crews on and we added trucks on. We added different parts to the company and we just kept growing and growing. And I began to realize that this would never end. It would never stop. And I remember I was actually sitting in a tree stand. I used to hunt. And I was reading, and I came across the story of Zacchaeus. And I'm reading, and I read what happened. I just began to weep in my tree. And from that point on, I remember coming home and telling my wife, I have to do something because I can't live like this. I'm not happy. I want to start living for God. I want, and so, yeah, we sold our business and decided to you know, commit our lives fully to God.
Amen.
With everything. What do you do now?
I do evangelism and evangelism training and that kind of thing. So
whatever Jesus asks you.
Whatever Jesus asks me to do.
That's
what. Now people listening say, he's insane. Because you would say at that time in your life, you had a lot of the toys and influence and money that some people.
I had people come to me and said, are you crazy? You have all of this. Everybody has wanted. Everybody wants this, what you have, and you're throwing it away.
Mm. But you weren't throwing it away.
No. Mm. No.
How has it changed your life to say, I'm just going to put Jesus first and use whatever tangible and intangible resources to serve him?
The story is ongoing. It's not always easy to do that. It's not always easy, but the rewards are huge. Yeah. The rewards are huge. And I see differences in my family. I see differences in myself, my character. God is good.
So what's the takeaway lesson? What do you learn from this? You just got a few seconds left. Sumiso.
I think what God entrusts to us should not define us. Christ defines us.
Wow. Mm. What he entrusts to us, tangible and intangible, should not define us and should not, certainly should not control us, right?
Right.
But Jesus. And then we use them rather than we're being used by them. Anyone else? Yes. Key lesson, key takeaway. What's impacted you in this study? Yes, Brittany.
God cares about our heart, and he gave everything to buy our heart and our love for him, and he just wants us to give it back to him in return.
Beautiful. And you know God loves you. You might say, I'm caught in the materialism trap. It's okay. God loves you. That's why he had you tune into Hope Sabbath School today. Right?
Amen.
He loves us, and he wants us to give him our hearts. He may not ask you to give away all your money yet. There may come a day when he says it's going to be thrown in the streets and use it all of your influence and resource for the kingdom. But you know, when we give him our hearts, he'll show us what he wants us to do. This is going to be an amazing series on being a faithful Christian steward. I hope you'll stay with us on Hope Sabbath School. Right now, I want to pray a blessing for you in the name of Jesus. Our Father in heaven, the influence of materialism. Yes, it's all around us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's so easy to live for things, but we want to live for you, God. We want you to be first and know that all those other things will find their proper place. So we surrender our hearts to you and pray that you would guide us in a way that we use all of our resources, tangible and intangible, for your honor and for the blessing of others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. It's going to be an amazing series of studies. And just think about what you've learned. Don't judge other people, but God, help me to use the resources you've given me to honor you and bless the lives of those around me.